The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
If the death penalty was paid for by Jesus, then why do believers still have to die physically? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for coming aboard today. We're excited to be taking questions from listeners not so unlike yourself. If you've got one of those questions that makes you scratch your head, I hope you'll consider sending it to us. You can reach us through email, send to radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion. Here's Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. This is Grace in Focus.
We're getting to the point now where there's hundreds of questions, so that's really good. I really appreciate that. But if you want us to answer the question, make it brief. Put it in like a few sentences.
Right.
Because otherwise it's intimidating for us. It's like, you know, I'm here and I have 3 pages of a life story to go through before I can find the question. And so, you know, it's just not a good use of my time.
All about the Polish grandmother and you're in this middle of the story.
Now, if we had a team of people who are answering questions, didn't you tell me once that Focus on the Family or something?
Inside for Living.
Inside for those guys have teams of people to answer questions, isn't that right?
Yeah, Rene Lopez worked there for a while, and I think he said they did have a group of people that would answer questions.
Yeah, we don't have that.
No, we're
just,
it.
It's just me and you with the bulk of our work to do, and then we kind of answer questions as we can on the side. And in fact, this is what I like about the podcast, because this actually gives us time to focus on answering questions. So if you keep them short, that makes it more doable for us. We appreciate that. Here's a question from Charles. And Charles says, I've always been taught that Jesus paid my penalty of death. Jesus died bodily. So by my reasoning, the penalty of sins is physical death. But if Jesus paid the penalty, then we shouldn't still die physically. If his bodily death paid the penalty of second death, I'm having difficulty making that connection. Any input would be greatly appreciated. So if I could put this in differently, if the penalty of sin was physical death and Jesus paid that penalty, then why do we die physically?
Okay, first of all, I agree with Charles. Most people don't.
What would most people say?
Most people would say that the penalty of sin is spiritual death.
Spiritual death.
And that Jesus died spiritually on the cross, and that Jesus eliminated spiritual death for the believer. What I would say is that the penalty of sin is physical death. That's what we saw in the garden, and that's what you see all the way through the New Testament as well. And that Jesus did pay that penalty, that physical death has been conquered, but there's a teaching in Scripture that the victory has not yet been seen because Jesus has not yet returned.
Right.
God determined that the ultimate victory would be after the return of Christ. Now, hypothetically, what God could have done is said when Jesus died on the cross, the kingdom would begin immediately after that. No 3 days in the earth. Of course, then there would have to be different prophecies in the Old Testament, etc.
Yeah.
But just an immediate kingdom, and nobody dies ever again. And no unbelievers in the kingdom either. It's just no more unbelievers. The great white throne judgment occurs then, and everybody is glorified, or at least some are glorified and some go in natural bodies. Either way, you would have no more death. But that's not what God has determined. Now, when we get to the millennium, there will still be death. We know that from Isaiah 65 and other texts. Also, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus alludes to that, I believe. But the point is, there will be death, but it will end with the new earth. Revelation 21:4, there will be no more death. So ultimately, death will cease. The victory over death has already been won, and it was won at Calvary. But there is still going to be death for those of us who live this side of the second coming.
Right.
Well, this side of the end of the millennium, for that matter.
Yeah. Trying to think about this question, everything that you've talked about. I mean, the phrase he uses here is that Jesus paid my penalty of death. And I'm trying to think, is there a verse that says that? I know that's Christianese. I know that's what we say. Is there a verse that says that Jesus, I mean, he took on death, and he does get the victory over death through resurrection.
Right.
So, but is there something that says, well, here is our penalty? I mean, the wages of sin is death, I guess, in Romans.
Yeah.
And that's physical death. But I don't know. Is there something that says...
There are songs that say that. Yeah. Is there some... We sing them and we make them into Scripture. You know?
So don't we pay the penalty? Is the penalty paid twice? Because you and I are going to die physically. So it's like, if it is a penalty, does it get paid twice?
That's kind of what Charles is asking, right? If Jesus has paid it, then why do we pay it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. It seems to me what the Scriptures say, oh, death, where is your sting? You know, we have that verse. And the victory is in Christ, but the victory is not yet realized because in God's timing, that won't be realized until after his return. Look at it this way. There were untold numbers of people, probably billions, who died in the flood. Billions of people who died before Jesus came on the scene. Yet, Jesus' death goes backwards, too. His death was a provision for them as well.
Okay.
Well, why did they die? Because there's a temporary reign of death. I have a sermon on Genesis 5 where it goes from Adam to Noah, and it talks about how old Adam was when he had his oldest son, and then he lived 930 years, and he died. And it goes right through each one. Yeah. Seth was so many years, and he died. The common refrain all the way through there, except for Enoch, was, and he died. And then there's a little short segment about Enoch who was taken, and he didn't die.
Yeah.
And that's the picture. But yeah, you're right. I don't know if there's a verse that says exactly the terminology of paying the penalty.
Paying the penalty of physical death. I mean, he did die, and I agree with you that the value of his death is his shed blood and his actually physically dying. That's something I would want to research more, Charles, whether it's even proper to think about Jesus paying the penalty of death. But I get what you're talking about. If it is a penalty, does it get paid twice? I think we would agree that the victory that we will have over death is in having resurrected, glorified bodies.
Right.
That's what Jesus gets for us. That's part of the eternal life that he promises us, because it's not eternal life in a disembodied state. It's everlastingly living with God forever and ever in a body, in a physical new heaven, new earth.
Yeah, Romans 5, 12 to 21, the contrast seems to be between death, which came from Adam, and everlasting life, which came from Jesus.
Yeah.
And even the verse you're citing, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is everlasting life in Christ Jesus our Lord, Romans 6, 23. There's a contrast there between physical death and everlasting life. Mm. The contrast is not between physical death and physical life. Yeah. So I know there are a few verses that talk about, for example, by his stripes we are healed.
Uh-huh.
And there are other verses that talk about he took our punishment. But I don't think that that obviously doesn't mean that we're not going to die.
Yeah.
I mean, we may not if the rapture occurs in our lifetime.
Right,
there
right.
will be some lots of millions or billions of believers alive at the time of the rapture. But those who are alive at the time of the rapture will be taken alive. But still, there will be deaths during the millennium.
Yeah. We said before, a lot of people, when they think about the death of Christ, they think the penalty in Genesis 3 was spiritual death. And they think that what Jesus does on the cross is experience spiritual death, separation from God the Father somehow on the cross. And that was him paying the penalty of sin. I know you don't really believe in spiritual death, but don't you think that, you know, unbelievers are somehow estranged from God or out of fellowship with God or out of relationship with him?
I do believe in spiritual death, but in the sense that, like, for example, in Ephesians 2, you were dead in trespasses and sins.
Yeah.
And then Ephesians 5, God made you alive. Spiritual death means lacking everlasting life. So in that sense, Jesus could not have experienced spiritual death because he is everlasting life, and he was everlasting life the whole time he was on the cross.
Okay.
But what people mean is that Jesus was separated from the Father and the Holy Spirit during those 6 hours.
Yeah.
Maybe. I'm even questioning that. I think what happened was he physically died
right
at the end of those 6 hours, and that's what it's talking about.
I mean, if you believe in the deity of Christ, which we do, if you believe in the Trinity, it's pretty much impossible to say. I mean, you're breaking up the Trinity if you say that there's a separation between the Son and the Father during those 6 hours. You're going to have to rethink your Trinitarian theology if you're holding that, or at least come up with an explanation.
Well, I understand where people come from. They're basically saying there's a break in fellowship because Jesus bore our sins. But yet Jesus is praying to the Father at the beginning and at the end.
Yeah.
And yet that's when he's on the cross, right? And he's bearing our sins during the time he's praying to the Father, and the Father's hearing him. To me, I would agree with you, it's inconceivable to me that the Father and the Holy Spirit were not in tune with Jesus during his entire time on the cross. I get his point, and I don't know I've given a good answer.
Well, what about this? Why then the second death? If the penalty of sin is physical death, why is it that people have the second death forever and ever and ever?
Okay, the second death, the first death is the separation of our body from our immaterial part, the soul and the spirit. The second death is the separation of a whole person, body, soul, and spirit, from God and his kingdom. Uh-huh. And so they're sent to a place called the lake of fire. That's called the second death. And it's not a physical death, because we're told in Revelation 20:11-15 that all the unsaved dead are raised, and death and Hades are brought to Jesus to be judged, and then they're cast into the lake of fire.
Mm-hmm.
And so the people in the lake of fire, unbelievers, will be people who have body, soul, and spirit. So they're not dead in the sense of physically dead, but they're dead in the sense that they're separated from Jesus and his kingdom.
So there is spiritual death.
That is spiritual death, yeah.
Okay.
But those are spiritually dead people who now experience a second spiritual death. The first spiritual death is they lack the life of God.
Right.
The second spiritual death is these people who lack the life of God are now sent into a place outside the kingdom. Hypothetically, God could have made it to where the people who lacked everlasting life could have been walking in the kingdom with us, or been in some part of the kingdom. They would have been tormented, but they would have been somewhere. No, that's not going to happen. They're going to be in a separate place called the lake of fire.
Whew, boy, this is complicated. These are complicated issues. Charles, I don't know if that, I don't even know if we really answered your question, Charles. I think we touched on it. We kind of got there. At the very least, we gave you more to chew on. Give us at least that. We've given you more to chew on.
Amen.
We'd love to hear from you. And Charles, thanks for writing to radio@faithalone.org. We'd love to hear from you, too. We want to know where you're from, what you're thinking about, what you're struggling with. Just contact us at radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you, guys, for that great discussion. Do you like what you're learning on the show? Well, there's more where that came from. We would love for you to come visit us at our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free resources on our site. One of which is really popular, is our free magazine. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color and it's completely free. Subscribe on the website and it will show up in your mailbox hassle free. It's faithalone.org. Another reason to visit the site is to learn a little bit more about becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated, because it's how we stay on the air. You ever have one of those questions that keeps you up at night? I know that I do sometimes. Well, if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, we want to hear from you. Send us a message at radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about the conditions for salvation before the cross, so join us for that episode. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.